Okay, you can turn in your Bible to the book of Psalms. We are in Psalm 135. We pick up our study in verse 13. This is our 64th study in the book of Psalms, and Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 135, verse 13. It says, "Thy name, O Lord, endures forever. Thy renown, O Lord, throughout all ages." Who God is and what He has done is known in every generation. Even in a world that goes bad, God always has a faithful remnant who appreciates Him in every generation. 14. "For the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants." God stands up for His people, those who know Him and those who live for Him. If His people are treated badly, when they haven't been bad, God will make sure that everyone involved knows the truth someday. 15. "The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands." Idolatry is putting something which has been created by God, some material object, over the Creator. That is idolatry. It doesn't have to be silver and it doesn't have to be gold. It can be anything or anyone that's more important to a person than God. That is idolatry. I know, you know, the Catholic Church in its official teaching says that it is against the Church's rule to worship Mary. But it sure appears, anyway, that some individual Catholics think more about her and pray more to her, you know, and give her more credit than they even do God. And if that is ever the case, just like with anything else that is placed above God, that's an idol. That is an idol. 16 and 17. "They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Nor is there any breath in their mouth." They can't talk, hear, or see. And they can't breathe either. If you can't do something so basic yourself, you sure can't help others do it. If you don't know how to breathe because you're dead, then you can't give life to one, or You can't give life to one who is dead if you can't breathe yourself because you're dead. Or you can't even keep one who is living alive if you're dead yourself. And so worshiping something other than God will be of no help to a person when they need it, like on their deathbed. 18. "Like them be those who make them, yea, everyone who trusts in them." Anyone foolish enough to make an idol and worship it will end up just like it, namely, dead. There is no future for anyone so foolish. 19. "O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion. He who dwells in Jerusalem, praise the Lord." Aaron's family were the high priests. The Levites were the priests, and Israel in general was God's people. And all of these knew God well. And the more one knows God, the more reason they have to bless and praise God. That's why they are exhorted to do it. No reason that they shouldn't. Let's go to Psalm 136. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." God is not a quitter. And we benefit from that because He loves us. And He doesn't stop loving us even when we're not acting lovable. He's not a quitter. 2. "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. God is the God of angels, God of kings, and the God of all idols. God is ruler over all, which means the Almighty God controls the life and death of everyone and everything. He rules over everyone and everything in all ways, including giving life and taking that life away. He controls it. Verse 3, O give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. There are many lords today, many who are in charge of something, but they are not lords by their own power. Jesus is Lord. He is the sovereign Lord, the only one. To the extent that someone is in charge of anything or anyone, it is only because Jesus is allowing them to share in his supreme lordship. That's why the Bible says that all authority comes from God. 4. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. If someone can work a miracle, it is only by God's permission. And there are times when God allows false prophets to do lying wonders to test people and see if they will chase after the miracle worker or stick with God. But even then, the lying wonders are only done with God's permission. 5. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. Every galaxy, solar system, and planet has been made by God's power and God's wisdom. God is the only one capable of doing that because he's the only one who understands how to do it. So what a slap in the face of God it is to suggest that there's no intelligent design in the universe. As I make this program today, that's kind of being debated in America. Is there an intelligent design to the universe? Well, what an insult to God. Of course there is. 6. To him who spread out the earth upon the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. And that's pretty much how God did it, too. The earth was all water until God gave the order for dry land to appear. So, even though this is poetic language, God did spread the land over the top of the waters. At least it sure appeared to be that way when he did it. 7. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. God put light in the sky. If he had not done that, then no matter what time of the day it was, if we looked up, all we would see was black, pure black. Verse 8 and 9. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun, the moon, and the stars were all made for man's benefit. They give light and heat and serve as a clock and a calendar and a compass. See, God had all this stuff in mind when he made the stars and the moon and the sun. They were all made for God's benefit, or I should say for our benefit and for God's glory. They do not, however, rule us in the sense of determining what will happen, as the astrologers teach. Verse 10. I just wanted to point that out because it says the sun to rule over the day, and it says the moon and the stars to rule over the night. So when it talks about ruling, it doesn't mean that they rule our destiny, as the astrologers teach. Verse 10. To him who smote the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. Justice was dished out on Egypt with the death of their firstborn, which resulted in mercy to God's innocent people Israel. That's the only way that God could show mercy to Israel, is to punish the Egyptians, because they wouldn't show mercy of their own free will. God had to twist their arm, as it were. It took the death of the firstborn to make Israel, or I should say, to make Egypt set Israel free, to make them do the right thing. Verse 11. And brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. It was the powerful hand of God that brought his people out of slavery in Egypt. And through their suffering, God brought honor to himself when he delivered them, which is something that they never could have done for themselves. And so after he did it, everybody knew. The Egyptians knew, and the Israelites knew that it was God who did it. He showed his power by setting his people free. 13. To him who divided the Red Sea in sunder, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. God saw that his people were trapped after they left Egypt. They had the Red Sea in front of them, mountains on both sides of them, and the Egyptian army coming up fast from behind. So what did he do? What did he do? What did he say? He said, "Boy, I guess I led them in the wrong way. Sorry." No. Not a problem. He just split the Red Sea in two, and he held the Egyptian army back so that his people could cross it. God doesn't make mistakes with us. If we find ourselves in a jam, it is so that he can accomplish something in it until it is time to get us out of it. Verse 15. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. Some people who try so desperately to deny the miracles of the Bible say, God didn't really split the Red Sea. See, the Israelites just walked across on a sandbar. It just appeared like he split the Red Sea. Okay. Well, then why did the Egyptians drown? See, when people do not accept the clear teaching of Scripture, they inevitably create more problems for themselves. Just accept the Word of God and the miracles of God as God has recorded them in His Holy Word. It's a lot simpler that way. 16. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. Everyone gets excited about the miracle of the Red Sea, and for good reasons. But many times, people overlook the miracle of verse 16. Israel was in the wilderness 40 years, but they didn't die of hunger, even though they couldn't plant crops. They didn't die for lack of water, even though they didn't have a well. And they didn't die of sunstroke, and, oh yeah, their clothes and their shoes never wore out either. Well, how could that be? Well, it's because God took care of them. It was a miracle. Miracle after miracle that he performed throughout those 40 years. And knowing those things is important because it will help us to obey God and trust that he will take care of us. 17 and 18. To him who smote great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. God fought for Israel. Those kings that were attacking Israel were famous, and they were powerful. But the God who split the Red Sea had no trouble removing them and making a way for his people. They could have defeated Israel in a flash, but God defeated them instead. He was merciful to Israel by defeating these powerful nations that disobeyed God and hated his people. 19. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage for his people, or for his steadfast love endures forever. And then verse 22. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. Some people think God was mean to do these things to those two kings. But remember, this earth is God's property. We are on his land. And those people he removed had plenty of chances to repent, even at the very end. But they would not. And so, in essence, God ran them off of his property. I'd like to see how long you and I would allow someone to stay in our house or to stay on our property if they were continually blaspheming us, insulting us, doing things that prove that they despised us. How long would you let them stay on your property? Think of it that way. This world is God's property. He doesn't have to put up with that stuff. He does a lot longer than people would, that's for sure. 23. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. And so when they were down and out, God remembered them and had mercy on them. When we hit rock bottom, and even if we don't have a friend in the world, God still wants us. And he will have mercy on us if we turn to him. Now, he may not always do what we want him to do, but he will do what is best, and he will give us grace to handle it. 25. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Whether it's specific favors like a miracle or an answer to prayer over an urgent need, or more general favors like food, it really doesn't matter. They all come from God. They all are a product of his mercy. They are God's mercy because as sinners we do not deserve anything good. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But look at how good God is for us, or to us, in his mercy. 26. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. The God of heaven is the one true God. He is good to us. All the good we have comes from God. All the good we have comes from God's mercy. So the least we can do is tell him thank you, which is what the writer does right here, and what she exhorts us to do. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the God of heaven for all his wonderful mercies toward us. Psalm 137. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. This psalm speaks about Israel's captivity in Babylon. They were in a foreign land. And when they stopped and thought about the old days back home, they thought about Zion. In other words, they thought about their place of worship. And you know what? They didn't want God. They didn't want God. And they didn't want to worship God when they were back home. They wanted to rebel. But now they want it. Problem is, it's too late. They are suffering the consequences of their sin, and those consequences must run their course. And it says in verse 2, on the willows, there we hung up our lyres. They hung up their instruments because there isn't a whole lot to sing about when you're being punished for your sin. 3, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And so the Babylonians, who had conquered Israel, were rubbing salt in Israel's wounds. They were saying, come on, come on, sing some of those spiritual songs that God of yours likes you to sing to him. Sing us some of those spiritual songs. Sing to that God who wouldn't or couldn't protect you. Mocking. 4. Here's the response. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They wouldn't sing holy songs to the heathen. Whether it's in the form of words or songs, we should not expose God's truth to the mockery of unbelievers. There comes a point when the correct thing to do is to just be quiet. Verse 5. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. In other words, may everything that is important to me perish, or at least cease to function, if I do not serve God. If my priorities are messed up, then may something happen to jolt me back, is what he is saying. 6. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. In other words, may I lose the ability to talk. He wants to be home. And he wants to be able to worship where he used to worship. And he doesn't want to lose those desires, because he knows those are correct desires. So he's asking God, you know, keep me from losing these things. 7. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, raise it, down to its foundations. When Israel was attacked and taken captive, their neighbor to the south, Edom, stood by, watched, and cheered. God warns people not to taunt their enemies when they suffer. Mocking someone who is suffering, even suffering punishment from God, will itself be judged by God. 8. O daughter of Babylon, you devastator, happy shall he be who requites you with what you have done to us. In other words, Babylon, I hope the one who gets you for what you did to us gets a big reward.